Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Good to be in the house of God. Thank God for prayer meeting night as we're able to get together and pray and express our concerns to the Lord together. And the Bible tells us that prayer meetings are good, they're godly, they're great, and they're much needed in the day you and I live in. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to begin reading down at verse 7, where the Bible says this. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this message on the battle of Armageddon. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, for the time to be in the house of God. And Lord, thank you that what we just read, it's not happened yet, but it's going to happen. There's going to come a time, Lord, when the devil's going to be put where he needs to be and where he's deserved to be this whole time. Yeah. But Lord, I pray you'd protect us from him tonight, as Lord, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I pray, God, you'd be with us, that you'd help us, God, that you'd do a work in our hearts and lives. Yeah. Help us, Father, to realize that as we read who won, the victory is in sight now. And I pray, God, that you'll just give us victory as we walk with you day by day. Help me as I preach tonight. God, I pray you'd help us as we listen and learn the scriptures. Lord, Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, there's an important quote I share with you every time we look at Bible prophecy. And the quote goes like this. "Christians who know nothing of future events will have little confidence or hope as they face the future. Only those who are familiar with prophecy can face what seems an uncertain future with peaceful confidence." When we read an event like what we're reading here tonight and what we're going to look here tonight, this lets us know that we are not walking in defeat. The victory is won at Calvary, and it'll be consumed at this battle. We looked at last week how Christ came and he came in the rapture and he pulled the church out of here. The tribulation happened here on earth for 7 years. He come in his second coming and destroyed all of Israel's enemies around him. And then he set up shop here on earth for 1,000 years. This time is known as the millennial reign. And it is one of the dispensations taught clearly in the Bible. It's not figurative. It is a literal 1,000 years which Christ sits on the throne in Jerusalem and rules and reigns this earth. Right. Now here's something to consider. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, if I could see God, I'd believe him. Or if I could see Jesus, I'd believe in Jesus." During that 1,000-year millennial reign, with the devil locked up and nowhere to be able to come out on this earth, people are still going to turn against Jesus Christ. They're going to turn against the Lord. They're going to, even though they can physically see him, though they can hear his voice, they will still not get saved, and they will still show what's taught in every dispensation in the Bible, and that's this truth. Man cannot save himself. Right. He will always do bad, given the chance. When Cain was out there, and all Cain knew was this. You give a blood sacrifice, God accepts it. He didn't know why, he didn't know how, but he knew that and still tried to offer God the works of his own hands, and that was because of the wickedness that was in his own heart. When Adam and Eve were in there in the garden, and they sinned in the garden, listen, the devil tempted them, but the devil never made them do it. Right. Man's inherently religious, and he's always trying to worship something, whether it be himself or some idol of some sort. But we find out all the way through the millennium, they can see Jesus Christ. He's physically here on this earth. Listen, every time he speaks on this planet during this millennial reign, if he raises his hand, you can see the holes in his hand where he's crucified. Every time he talks, they know that's the voice of God. Yet the devil shows up, and you look at verse 7, it said, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. We find out that the devil's been tied up. We find that the devil is loose in verse 7. As he's let out of his prison, you would think being in prison for 1,000 years, you'd want to get out and do good, wouldn't you? I mean, that's what most folks think. They think if we put somebody in prison, they'll get out and they'll do well. They've served their time. They paid their debt to society. And Satan, listen, has been in prison for 1,000 years. And the whole time he comes out wanting to do bad, just like when he went in. I find it so amazing how people think that just locking somebody away for a certain period of time, they'll change while they're there. Listen, nobody changes unless God changes their heart. And we find the devil loosed. He's bound 1,000 years. He's set in prison. And like most folks that set in prison, what they do is they plot some kind of scheme that they're going to do when they get out. Some of them, listen, when they go in, they come from the crack house and they go in there and they get sober and go to the church house. But as soon as they're loose because their heart wasn't changed, they go back to the crack house. Right. Some of them, listen, they sit on a bar stool, they get sloppy drunk and do all kind of stupid things. And they go in prison, they sober up and say, you know, I don't need to do those things again. And the judge ordered them a class and they took the class. They said, you don't need to do that. He said, I don't need to do that. But yet they get out and they'll go repeat the same things. Ye are of your father the devil and the lust he chase after, you'll do them same things. If you don't get changed by the grace of God and saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, you wind up in the same way you went. You wind up going the same way you're coming. And I see right here the devil, listen, he's a clear pattern of that. We ought to examine the Bible and see that prison alone does not take care of the problem. I notice we find the devil loose, but secondly, if you look down at verse 8, the Bible says this. It says about the devil, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. And he mentions these two, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. We see in verse number 8, we saw the devil loose. In verse 7, in verse number 8, we see the devil laboring. As soon as he gets out, he goes right back to work, and he gathers Gog and Magog, which the Bible said are numbered, or more than number of the sands of the sea. So it looks like the millennial reign under Jesus Christ, where they could physically see God and physically hear him talk, there still is a multitude of lost people that are still out there that have not trusted in that Savior that they can see. Oh, if God would have spoke to me, God has spoken. He's spoken through His Word, and during the millennial reign, He'll speak from His throne. He will literally sit there and say things, and people will, and He'll perform miracles and do all that, but yet it'll come out the same way. Man will turn against God once he's got a choice. Right. I noticed that they haven't had an uprising yet, but as soon as the devil's loose here, he's getting the band back together again. What's he going to do? He's going to try one more time to overthrow God. Yeah. But a lot of folks have never really understood why he's like that. Let me explain it to you. He was in heaven, and the sin of pride crept in his heart, and he said, I will be like the Most High. And he done everything he could to get one third of the angels to follow him and overthrowing God on his throne. And how'd that work out for him? Well, it didn't work out good at all, because he got thrown out of heaven, that third angel's with him. And he got cast to this earth. And when he gets down here, the first thing he does is walk up to the first man and woman God created and said, yea, hath God said, you should not touch every tree of the garden. He went from pride to lying like that. You'll find out them sins go together. I found people that so stuck up in pride and so lifted up with pride, if they make a mistake and you call on it, they'll start lying their way out of it. And then when they get called on the lie, they'll make up another lie to cover that lie. And before long, they'll lie to themselves so much that they'll be self-deceived and believe their own lies are truth. Where did they learn that at? It come out of their wicked heart. I see he says there that he wants to gather them together to battle. He's not gathering them for a debate. He's not gathering for a summit. He's not gathering for a protest. He's gathering for a battle, because he's going to want to come in and he's going to surround that holy city, and he's laboring to get these people ready. He's wanting them to be armed to the teeth. He's wanting them to take down God Almighty. You say, how could the devil believe that? After all, he's been to heaven. He was there when all that happened. When you are so full of pride, you cannot see reality sometimes. There are people this day that you can't tell them nothing. They're so hard-headed. But if you tell them pride's a sin, they'll figure out, well, such is pride and such not a sin. Well, let me tell you something. Pride's always bad in the Bible. It always will be bad in the Bible. And every time you see it show up here on planet Earth, it's always bad. And it always leads to destruction. Hey, I see that only by pride cometh contention. That's what Proverbs 13 says. I see that pride is it goes before the fall. And everybody's trying to figure out a way around that so they can be proud of something. Let me tell you something. Hey, don't be walking around in your pride. You'll be walking around. You won't be walking before long.
Come on.
I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm proud of my young'uns, and I got this sticker on the back of my car. It says, my kid's the best kid down at the schoolhouse. Well, that ain't what I heard. I heard the principal say this. I heard the principal say, if you wasn't such a bad parent, your kid might be all right. That's what I heard. I'll tell you what else I heard. And listen, I'll tell you what else I heard. And that was just the homeschool people I talked to. I'll tell you what else I heard. I heard that your kid was so bad that they have to lock him in the closet half the day, or her in the closet half the day, because they're so mean they always pulling on the girls' pigtails and trying to slap all the boys. That's what I heard. Wonder where they learned all that at, Mom and Daddy.
Come on.
Oh, I know. It's the wicked video games. No. It's that wicked heart.
Come on.
I have counseled with people over 20-something years and talked to them about their children, and it always ends in the same conversation. Here it goes. If my children weren't around a bad crowd, they'd be good kids. And I've informed every one of them, and some of you here tonight, your kid is the bad kid. Their kid is the bad kid. They find each other like apples rot towards each other in a barrel.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Wow.
Until that heart gets changed, that child will be the same.
Right.
And then it'll, without further ado, let me introduce you where else the devil labors at currently. I know this message on prophecy, but I want to help you out. I see that there'll be two or three kids raised in a house, or even sometimes seven or eight, and they'll come out of that house a bunch of godly kids, except one or two of them. They'll be mean as a devil. They'll stay in trouble all their life. They'll go in and out of prison and everything else. And people will say, I just can't believe that happened to that one kid. You don't believe there's a devil out here laboring, is what the problem is. If he couldn't get child number one or child number two, he ain't going to give up. He's going to go after child number three.
Right.
Listen. Don't think your child is an angel. Their halos are sitting on top of horns.
Come on.
And the devil labors for things like that. And he knows about the wicked heart that's in man. And he knows about how desperately wicked he is. And he knows that. And he goes right after it. And during the millennial reign, as soon as that comes to close, they loose him for a season. And the first thing he does is find everybody that hates God. And they outnumber the saved people.
Yes, sir.
And look at that thing again. Look at that. He said, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. We find the devil laboring because he's got a lot of laborers with him. They already hate God. Now you got to understand, this is a group of people that have never known nothing but Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. They've never met Obama and Hillary and all that crowd. Or they've never had a Democrat versus Republican election. They've never even heard of ISIS. They don't even know what a Muslim is.
Right.
But yet the devil comes along and they're right there lost, ready to line up with the devil.
Yeah.
Every dispensation shows the failure of man.
Yeah.
If you look down at verse number 9, we don't see the devil loose and laboring, but verse number 9 says, they went up to on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, what we have a picture over here is the devil losing. We find him losing. One last time, one last battle, the Battle of Armageddon. The word Armageddon literally means a final battle or conflict, and this is the last battle.
Come on.
I know when you're Christian television, they're selling books on the, is the Battle of Armageddon near? Is it going to be tomorrow? Will ISIS bring that? No, ISIS ain't going to bring it. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is the last battle spoken of here. And in this battle, it's strange. Because no army defeats the devil and his crowd. Did you see where one line of defense has been set up around that holy city? Did you see one time where it said all the Christians went and got their swords and their shields and their Smith and Wessons and their machine guns and our cannons and our tanks, and we rolled out there and we rolled in three deep on him? No, we didn't see that in there. We don't find where we had to do anything.
Right.
But in this battle, where we find the devil losing, you'll notice what it says. It says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. By the end of the millennial reign, the number of folks that have been saved prior to the millennial reign, by the time we get to this point after the millennial reign, we're still outnumbered. The Bible's still true. Matthew chapter 7, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few be that find it. We're still outnumbered. But I got news for you. We don't find the devil losing because we're small in number. We find the devil losing because we got a great big God that will not be defeated. I know that the devil thinks when he gets this army together, he'll overthrow that city, he'll overthrow God Almighty, and he'll do this and he'll do that. That's what pride gets you. It'll deceive you just like it's deceived him, like it's deceived so many. But we find here, we find the devil going up, and we find the devil finding something he wasn't looking for. And he's finding something a lot of folks are not thinking they're going to run into. He's running into God Almighty, and God's paying the bills on this day. I've always heard that the bills always get paid. Son, he sets it up here in the millennial reign where they get paid, and then he's got one last bill to pay over here in verse 9, and we find the devil finally paying up. I see it says that they compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and the very next phrase, and fire came down from God. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something a lot of people don't realize. Fire in the Bible is for judgment. Yeah. And we find out the judgment of God falls on the devil here, and we find him finally losing after everything that's went on, after everything that's happened. We find the devil getting put in his place. And if you look down at verse 10, we find one last truth about this battle. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And it says, where the beast and false prophet are, they've been there the whole time. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yes. What I find here is find very interesting is we find the devil lost. Right. Do you know there are people who make dumb statements like if the devil tried to reach you, he'd have to reach through the blood and he'd be saved. That makes for good Southern gospel songs, but it don't make for good Bible truth. I'm here quartet singing it now, can't you? But also know this. I've heard some other dumb statements that go like this, and this is how they go. Well, when the devil sees one of y'all praying, he just trembles. No, he gets down there and prays with you because he ain't afraid of you. He's watched your kind come and go for over 6,000 years. You don't even intimidate him. And when you stand up, you bow your little prideful chest out, you say, devil, I rebuke you. He stands up to you and says, you do. And he don't get scared at all. He ain't even trembling. He's never taken a nerve pill over the first human being. But listen to this. We find the devil lost. You know when he got lost? When he tried to overthrow God, he condemned himself. And just like most folks, they're going to try to fight God to the very last breath. And they're going to be so deceived thinking I'll make a deathbed confession that I'll be okay. I got news for you. I don't think that a lot of people realize this, but you don't see very many old people making deathbed confessions. More than likely, you see a bunch of old people make it out that long because they were saved and they did trust God and they rested on Bible principles rather than resting on, well, I'm going to live like the devil until right before I go out of here and I'm going to get saved right at the last second. I'm afraid God don't work like that. He has grace and extends it out to the deathbed. I'm well aware of that. But I do find this. I find that most folks, if they're going to live for the devil and plan that thing at the end, they don't know when the end's coming. Yep. I've had more than one person tell me to my face, I'm going to live like I want to. When I get old, I'll get saved. They died before this, 30 and 40. Yeah. They died young. Why? They wasn't expecting the end to come. They didn't know the end was coming. Why? Listen, that sin of pride done filled them up. And they're contending with people that's trying to win them to God. They're contending with people that's trying to get them saved. They're contending with that because pride brought about that contention. But just like their father the devil, they fought God all the way to the end. Do you think for a minute that the devil don't know this is in the Bible? You know what he thinks? I'll overcome there. First he thinks they're not going to put him in prison, and they do. Then he thinks when I get out, I'm going to overthrow God, and nobody's going to be able to do about it. But you know what? That's what pride does. And we find the devil lost for the same reason we find the multitude of people in this world lost. P-R-I-D-E. And that I spelt with a capital I right in the middle of it. We find in this verse it says that the devil that deceived them. When he gathered all these people together, it wasn't like, hey, y'all, there's the devil. Let's go attack God. No, it wasn't like that. He come up and he said, listen, I got all this power. Watch what I can do. He might have turned the sand into snow or whatever in front of him. He might have done all kinds of things. I don't know. But he did deceive them. He probably laid out a battle plan that said this. Said, here's how we're going to attack. We're going to come in on this front over here, and y'all going to come in around here. We're going to surround that thing, and the only thing they can do is run off to Mars, because we'll have them then. I don't know what he's going to tell them, but it's going to be a lie, and it's going to be a big one. He's going to make it out like they're going to take down the whole city and everybody in it, kill everybody there, and then he'll set up his shop. They don't realize if this battle's won, who the king's going to be, I don't think. Maybe he promised them a democratic process. Once we eliminate that king over there, we'll vote in a leader. And I know a couple of good recommendations. Once I get them out of prison too, well, one of the three of us can run the place. You don't know what he might tell them. But I know what God tells him. It says he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I remember Curtis Daniel telling this in Bible college, Dr. Curtis Daniel. He said, you write in your margin, in your Bible right there, bye-bye devil, because he's gone to be with us no more.
Right.
I can't wait for that day that we say bye-bye devil for the last time.
Amen.
He's destroyed more marriages, more homes, more children, more families, more nations than you can imagine. He's deceived and tricked people. He's conned people into all kinds of things, and they've all wound up the same way, in hell.
Yeah.
Now he gets to go there. But here's the funny thing. Death, hell, and the graves are going to be given up, and Satan's going to be in the lake of fire before they all get there. And when he gets cast into the lake of fire, listen, there is no stop to that torment. They're suffering there day and night forever. And the devil who would tell you that, well, don't worry about it. Your favorite pop star, rap star, country star, rock star, they're in hell right now partying, and we're all having a ball. They're not in hell partying. Hell is a place of fire and brimstone. It's not there and say, well, I'm just suffering because I'm separated from God. Lost people don't even know what it feels like to be separated from God. They've never known anything else. Hell is not a place of separation from God, because this Bible says that there they feel the torment day and night of His judgment. And, when they want to run these little Greek and Hebrew words, guess what? He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there.
Yep.
That you either face God in love or you face Him in wrath.
Yep.
I see plainly here, he said, the devil that deceived them. It said he'll be tormented day and night forever. He's going to get his. But do not be deceived by any cartoon, movie, TV show, or whatever. He's not in hell with a pitchfork sitting behind a desk right now running hell. He's not sitting there doing all that. He's alive and well on planet Earth, and he's seeking whom he may devour.
Yep.
When he gets you to stay home from church, he leaves you alone. He comes here and starts messing with us.
Yep. Yep.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's the devil that deceived him. That's the devil that'll deceive you.
Yep.
But the one biggest thing is the devil winds up lost. You ever notice that the Bible, when Jesus speaks of hell, he says it was made for the devil and his angels?
Well,
hell is not made to accommodate you. The lake of fire is not made to accommodate you.
Right.
It's for who's listed in verse 10 is going there.
Yep.
Don't go there with him.
Amen.
Trust Christ right now. Yes. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus right now.
Amen.
And ask Christ to save you while you still got time. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.